Mo.
Lab.
Ho. Mo.
Lab.
Okay, shut up. I'm done. God.
Honestly, Balin, it's like
so
you take
long.
Like little baby bites.
All right, so we are mad.
Little chews.
For a little bit of lunch.
I can't possibly have more than one bee.
Before this week's Homo Lab. And, you know, I can't help it that I'm like, you know, that I chew my food in an appropriate way. And
masticate.
Masticate. Yeah, and of course, you know, Lucho and, well, Amy, we, you know, you got here before us, so you were almost done when we arrived. Lucho can eat, you know, the side
do
of the
pig. Do you inhale?
Yeah.
Oh, in the most ridiculous fashion ever. So of course I was going to be the last one, but anyway, we're all done eating now, and hello, and welcome to Homo Lab 58.
58.
Yeah, Amy LeMay is here, Lucho Buffoni is here.
And he is Balin Leonard.
Hello. So lots coming up on the show this week. We are going to hear from our friend Jerome, who is currently blogging his way around the world.
Blagging or blogging?
I think a mixture of the two.
We've heard from Jerome before, and he is in the middle of Central Asia at the moment.
He's in a place with an istan at
yes,
the end
one
of
them.
It.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of istans. And so he has sent us a very NPR-like report from the istans about what it's like to be a gay person in those countries, and also what it's like to run a gay organization. Lobbying for gay rights in those countries. So we're going to hear from Jerome a bit later on. And we've also got loads of gay star news. But as usual, we need to catch up on our weekend.
Yeah.
How was yours, Amy LeMay?
Fine. I'm just, you know, it's like ducky. And then the weather was so absolutely dreadful that I didn't want to go out.
It was quite
yesterday,
nice, though,
on Sunday.
Wasn't it? It was quite nice with
it
the rain.
It wasn't. No, no. I live in a basement flat. I felt like a lesbian troglodyte. This was compounded by the fact that, you know, like, I've injured my foot and my leg,
yeah,
like, doing my show. And the doctor gave me some very strong painkillers.
Excellent.
Cocodamol.
Oh, yeah.
That's just Midway.
Sure.
Is it Midway?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
Go back. Say that not working very well. You want tramadol.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we'll see you in August.
She's a lesbian, not a gay man.
What is tramadol really?
Tramadol's kind of morphine-y.
Okay.
I got some. We know when I put my back out over the summer, they gave me cocodamol at first, which literally did do absolutely nothing for me.
But the tramadol was excellent.
And then they gave me tramadol and woo!
Well, I made the mistake of popping a couple of cocodamol and then basically drinking a bottle of Prosecco.
Oh, no, perfect. Yeah, that's perfect.
I was wiggy. Wiggy was not even the word. I was swirling. I was twirling. I was hallucinating. I had the most weird dreams. And then, like, when I woke up, I actually thought that the dreams had happened.
Listen, that's the best way to spend a rainy weekend,
There was a report in The Independent yesterday, which we were reading on our rainy Sunday, which is saying that drug use amongst gay men and lesbians is far higher than the average population. I think we need to move on away from illegal drugs and onto prescribed drugs.
I
think that's the future. Prescription drugs only.
Yeah.
Whether or not you need them.
I'm down with that in every way possible. That was the best thing about throwing my back out, is that I got so many prescription drugs.
I just think I should have read the label that said, do not drink alcohol with these tablets.
Now, if I remember rightly, that's in massive letters on the front of the box.
Yeah, I didn't bother about that.
Well, Amy, that sounds amazing. That sounds like a wonderful weekend. I don't know what you're complaining about. You're just clearly on a come down.
Yeah, no, I think I am.
While you were doing that, we were on a train and then a ferry and then another train and then a car off to the Isle of Wight.
Okay. What was on the Isle of Wight?
It wasn't a festival. It was a wedding. It was Lucio's.
What, a homo
wedding.
Or a hetero wedding?
A hetero wedding. It was Lucio's.
Oh my God,
first
how recherche.
Cousin.
I know. Yeah, they still happen.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was a lovely wedding, but very, very much your typical straight, you know,
oh
wedding.
God,
it was,
I can't bear them. I know
was,
that's not PC.
It was
to
a
say,
lovely,
but I can't.
It was a lovely family affair. And, you know, it was great because, you know.
Was the wine flowing?
Not at the wedding, the wine wasn't flowing. There was.
What do you mean their wine wasn't flowing at the wedding?
Well, there was, you know, people do weddings differently now, I've been told, because I kept thinking through the whole ceremony. I was like, well, as long as we get to the free bar, we're good to go. As long as we get to the open bar, we're good to go.
Yeah.
And then Lucio's cousin Andrea was like, well, you know, Balin, not every wedding does a free bar nowadays. And I was like, don't be ridiculous. It's a wedding. No, there was no free bar. There was no free bar.
Wait, you went all the way to the Isle of Wight and there was no free bar?
Yeah, there was no free bar.
My uncle listens to this. podcast.
Yeah, well, it was his son, so he wasn't in charge of the free bar.
Why was it on the Isle of Wight? Do they live there?
No, the bride is from the Isle of Wight. It was actually, to be honest, it was a lovely family wedding, right? Like, so it was the whole family in this big hotel in the middle of Isle of Wight, and that's where the wedding happened.
Like, warned you, because then you could have brought, like, your own bottle of scotch or something, which is, like, what usually happens at our family weddings.
Before and after the wedding, the alcohol was flowing freely as you like. You know, everybody was getting rounds in, and that was all super lovely. But during the wedding, or during the reception, you know, we were served a glass of wine with the meal. And then, you know, of course, we're at the, you know, one of the Italian tables. So everybody was like, you know, calling the waiters over and being like, can we get some more red wine, please? And they were like, oh, no, there's only one glass per person. Lucio's nan was not very impressed.
I have to stay out of this entire debate. My nan was my nan.
There were gays at the wedding, though, and not just us.
Really?
Yeah, there were gays from Bristol there. And the thing is, you know, at a straight wedding, it's always either, like, you know...
Did they put you next to each other?
No, we were... Well, our tables were close, but no.
No, we weren't next to each other.
The wedding... The tables were themed by Hollywood starlet, uh-huh. right? And we were at the Garland table, which I thought was incredibly appropriate. And
I know who she is now.
Yeah, he didn't know who she
was. Oh,
yeah,
shut up.
But,
Liza Minnelli's
but no,
daughter.
So the... I thought there might be gays at this wedding, because we, you know, we saw them and they were like, ah, they're in a trendy, slim suit.
So it's easy to spot. It's easy to spot.
They have a beard. They must be gay.
Easy to spot the gays at a straight wedding.
So then, of course, by the second Beyonce song at the reception,
yeah,
they were
when they're
on
doing
the
their impersonation of Single Ladies, put a ring on
it.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was, and do you know what?
Oh God, that was funny when we tried to get my mum to go and request Azealia Banks 212 from the DJ.
Lucho's mum did go and request Azealia Banks 212.
Did
she
think that you were asking her to go and fetch a pot of azaleas or something?
And if you don't know the song, it's the filthiest song ever.
But
mean,
the DJ wouldn't
know
play it.
Not only no, the DJ him. Didn't know it. It was because we thought she was. We were watching, you know, me and Lucho and his brother and his wife. We were all like, "Oh, you go request 212, hilarious!" And this DJ was one of the type of DJs that talks in between every
mobile
song.
Mobile disco, love it.
Total mobile disco talks in between every song.
Love it. Love
peaked
it.
Far too early with "Living on a Prayer," like as the third song, and we all know you got to save that to everybody.
Yeah,
really,
yeah, yeah.
Really drunk, like I did at your wedding.
Yeah.
and every wedding I've ever DJed at. But anyway, so Lucho's mom went to ask for the song, and he didn't know it. He had never heard of it.
Maybe it hasn't reached the Isle of Wight.
Maybe it hasn't. That's a good,
you know,
good point. It might take
another
year or two.
I mean, the Isle of Wight is like, you know.
But the point is...
It is over a bit of water, isn't it?
despite there not being an open bar, it was a super lovely wedding. I love hanging out with Lucho's family. It was all a lovely weekend, all round, all the drama that one wants from a family wedding. And it was probably a blessing in disguise, because you know how drunk people get when it's an open bar. So it kind of kept the wedding fairly...
Oh, wow. Sorry, I just heard they've got Morrissey on. They've got the Smiths on them.
It's better than Millionaire Guy they were playing earlier, Bruno Mars.
Yeah,
so we're
down. We're in Lyon, by the way.
We haven't
said where we are.
We're in
Lyon,
we're on Compton Street. Yeah. And they've got the Smiths on the stereo,
and
so
Amy's,
all is good in the
you
world.
Know, I mean, God, we're in a basement, they're playing the Smiths. Amy's coming down from Kokoda Mall, and it's raining outside. Like, what more could you want?
Oh my God!
This must be your perfect melancholic day.
It is.
Amy's never been so happy and so sad.
And
oh,
you had a vegetarian, wrap box thing.
Vegetarian curry, a really disappointing vegetarian curry. Anyway.
Okay, guys, let's
should we move on? Yeah. Should we do some news, courtesy of our friends at Gay Star News?
This is literally like your teenage dream. Yeah.
It is.
Homo
Lab.
Homo.
So the Defense of Marriage Act in the US is back in the news. The 1996 Act, which was signed by Bill Clinton, which defends marriage in the United States of America as being between one man and one woman. Now, there's a whole load of cases that are going up to the Supreme Court in the States, and they reckon this is going to dominate SCOTUS, as it's called. Supreme Court of the United States.
These acronyms. I mean, I know they're not new, but we've all just started using them, like POTUS for the President of the United States.
Oh, right.
Anyway.
So anyway, this is going to take the Supreme Court's time over the next year. Now, the thing is, LGBT campaigners in America don't want all the cases to go forward to the Supreme Court. They only really want the ones that
they think
are
going to win.
Are going to win to go forward. So it's quite interesting. They're actually, like, part of the campaign to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act is to try and stop some of the cases going through to the Supreme Court, including Perry versus Brown, which is two guys that are suing because of the Proposition 8 in California. And actually, they don't want that case to go forward because they think that impedes too much on states' rights. And democracy, the kind of cases they want to go forward are the ones where states have accepted gay marriage, where people assume because they can't get the tax benefits or the healthcare benefits.
Right. Well, how long do you think it will be until, you know, it goes federal and, like, we get immigration, gay and lesbian immigration?
Well, this is the thing. I think if they rule that the Defense of Marriage Act has overstepped the mark in forcing states to apply federal law to marriages, which is what they have control over, then immigration and stuff, I think it will be fine, and all those federal rights of marriage will all be bestowed on people that get married in states that accept gay marriage.
All right, okay. All right.
But what they're saying is if some of the wrong cases go forward, then it could actually set the case back.
That's the worrying thing, isn't it? Because ultimately, once the Supreme Court decides on something, it's kind of law. Until you go through a whole shitload of stuff to try. I mean, you know, Roe v. Wade and all that stuff, and I mean, it's important that it goes forward, but yeah, I guess you kind of have to pick
choose
your time
your battles.
And your battles, don't you?
So this is interesting because, as you say, the only way it really would get overturned, unless the Republican Party have a change of heart over gays.
How likely is that, you think?
I don't know. I don't know, because Romney, if he loses this election, which he's on course to do, I think they really have to question their coalition.
Next,
I think they've got to say that, you know what, the kind of people that voted Republican, they're not alive anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time the Republicans kind of won a peacetime election, say, in America, was 1988.
Yeah.
Because even though George Bush won in 2000, they didn't get the majority
of
votes.
Yeah.
2004, America felt that it was at war because of September the 11th, and so Bush got back in. So really, if you say in peacetime, the last time Republicans and their grand coalition of rabid, you know, religious conservatives and fiscal conservatives managed to get a majority.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to change in order to survive. You know, hopefully this election will go to the Democrats, and this won't be ironic if you're listening to it after that. But I would think by the next presidential election, they'll have to have moved a far way towards more liberal views in order to be a viable party still. And I think that a lot of that is changing from within the party, actually. You know, I know that the Log Cabin Republicans, which is a gay and lesbian Republican group, get a lot of flack for being Republicans and gay, but there's more and more of those type of organizations within the Republican Party. So I think they would have to change in order to keep up, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so. I just, like, can't envisage that ever happening,
I know,
to be honest. You know, you're sitting here talking, you know, very good talk,
but fundamentally
hopeful.
It means, you know, will people like Michelle Bachmann change their positions? I can't see that happening. Will Republicans Republicans that are voting in primaries in, you know, rural Texas and rural Minnesota and rural Tennessee, will they suddenly say, yeah, I'm going to support a pro-gay rights?
I don't think it's so much about coming out and saying, I will support a pro-gay rights, you know, platform or whatever it is. I think it's more about this slowly softening the hardline approach, and not to mention those people dying, because most people who have those, you know, old kind of views are for the most part dinosaurs anyway, in one way or the other. I mean, yes, there are exceptions like Michelle Bachmann and all that sort of stuff, but a lot of the people who hold actual power over those things, you know, have been in politics, you know, for like 80 years now.
I mean, basically what we're saying is we don't really need to fight for gay rights anymore because all the people that are most vehemently opposed are going to die.
That's a good strategy.
Just patience, wait it out, you know. That's how we made it through high school.
Well, I'll tell you what, some people that have counted on, you know, some celebrities to be very pro-gay, I've been very disappointed this past week because have you seen in the news that Paris Hilton has said that most gay men probably have AIDS? Yes, you know, if you were a fan of Ms. Hilton, if you thought that she was on the cutting edge of politics, if she was on the cutting edge of, you know, supporting LGBT equality, you might have to think again.
No, now give it its context, Amy. Okay. You're just as bad as the tabloid.
Yes. So apparently, Paris Hilton was in the back of a taxi cab in New York City with a gay male friend, and this friend was explaining to her what Grindr is.
Okay.
She'd never heard of Grindr.
What is Grindr?
Shut up. Give me a break. So anyway. So anyway, she was quite taken aback by this description of Grindr, and she said, and I quote, "Gay guys are the horniest people in the world. They're disgusting. Dude, most of them probably have AIDS." And then a friend briefly described, you know, how the app works and everything. And she said, "Oh, I'd be so scared if I was a gay guy. You'll like die of AIDS." So, I don't know why I giggled then, but it
you're
is
as
quite,
bad as Paris Hilton.
But it's quite ridiculous.
This is going to get quoted out of context one day, and it's going to be Amy LeMay laughs at people dying of AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, to be fair, I mean, Paris Hilton is not the most political person in the world, but, she, you know, she's always been
very... I loved
very...
her thesis on the Middle East
crisis.
Yeah.
Everybody always kind of takes it that she's, you know, pro-gay. She's a woman of the modern world, shall we say.
And
I think she knows who her fan base and demographic are.
Well, I think the fact that she was saying this to a gay friend who was talking about Grindr and who was also talking about a guy that he knew who did have HIV and had unprotected sex.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you take it in the context of it, it's a silly little conversation between a gay guy and his fag hag, for lack of a better kind of summation. And I don't actually think that she thinks that every gay guy has AIDS. I just think she's saying that, oh my God, if there's like this app where you can like totally have anonymous sex and like you totally don't know the person, you could totally die of AIDS.
What about her?
I think is what she's saying.
What about her sex tape? Though, I mean, you know, surely she could die of AIDS as well.
I didn't see a condom in that.
Yeah. So anyway, I think one of the big things that this brings up is like taxi drivers in New York are going around recording people's conversations.
Well, yeah, that's the most worrying thing. And
you know,
if you think about some of the conversations
you've had
in the back of taxis.
Oh my Lord.
Or even some of the conversations we had before we press record for this podcast.
Yes.
I wouldn't really want them publicized. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, let us know what you think about that. I'm not particularly offended by it. I kind of get, you know, I kind of think in the context of the situation, like, I don't actually think that she, you know, it's as bad as it sounds when you first see the headlines. What do you think? We're on Twitter. We're at Homolab, and we'd love to know what you think about that. Going from Paris Hilton in New York to the other side of the world, over in China, there's a huge craze happening for homoerotic comic books. And it's not a huge craze among gay guys. Their biggest fans are teenage girls.
What?
And straight girls who work in offices. So the gay fiction graphic novel is called Dan May. And basically, not only are girls in high school and college and offices reading them and becoming absolutely obsessed with the explicit sexual encounters between the men in Dan May, they're also taking it one step further and writing fan fiction about Dan May. Now, the interesting thing about this is that some of the websites have almost been shut down because they've been deemed pornographic, like some of the websites for the actual
like
comics.
Homolab is shut down in China.
Homolab, we did find out, is banned in China.
So you're not going to hear us, China, talking about your lovely comic books, are you?
But all of the characters in Dan May, they're always handsome, they're always passionate, they're always daring. So far,
just like gay men in real life.
Right? This is
why they all got AIDS.
They don't want that. But here's the thing, even though they have huge fan base among straight girls and teenage girls, when those same teenage girls and straight girls were asked about how they felt about LGBT rights, most of them didn't even really know what LGBT meant.
Well, they live in China, for goodness sake.
They weren't particularly friends with gay guys, or did they have strong feelings about the rights of gay men. They just loved to
see... they're probably just, like, reading those comic books and having a wank. I mean,
So it's not that different than, say, One Direction. Not that One Direction is gay, but you know what I mean? It's not that different than, like, straight girls loving perfectly formed men that they can't get, right?
I think, there's something comforting for straight girls. When I think when you're a teenager, you're just discovering sexuality, but you don't maybe necessarily actually want to have sex. And something with like boy bands where they're kind of asexual, maybe with these comics as well because they're gay, it's, you know, something whereby that their hormones can, you know, go all a bluster, but then not actually threatened with necessarily having to do anything.
All right, is that why gay men love like Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli so much?
I think it's the same
We were
reason.
At the Garland table at the wedding.
It's the same reason. I don't know. Why did BC... I don't know.
Can
if
I have my pen back?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
I don't know...
Was he eating it?
He was. No,
I was about to.
You were chewing it.
I was not chewing.
I don't want your germs.
So there we go. That's pretty much the news from our friends at Gay Star News.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
Pay-as-you gym is the new flexible way to access over 300 gyms in the UK with no commitments and no sign-up fees. We're offering you, listeners of Homolab, a free pass worth up to £15 to access a gym near you. Just go to payasyougym.com/Homolab. Pay-as-you gym is simple and easy to use. You only pay when you go. That's it. So why not get started today? And as an extra benefit for you, you can take a friend along with you for your first visit. Absolutely free. Go to payasyougym.com/Homolab.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
So before we mention this at the beginning of the podcast, it's our friend Jerome Alexander, who is travelling around the world, and he's in Central Asia at the moment. He's filed this report about gay rights in the East.
Homosexual and human rights are slowly making their way into Central Asia. Kazakhstan, Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan decriminalised homosexuality more than 10 years ago, but the Soviet legislation still applies in Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. After Georgia and Azerbaijan, where I sent my last report from, I visited Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. In Uzbekistan, I met a 23-year-old gay who accepted to talk to Homo Lab, but he wished to remain anonymous. He lives in Tashkent, the capital. He's openly gay, has gay friends, and goes out to gay venues. I asked him how his relationship is with his family and social environment.
My mama probably knows as well, because most of the time she, like, have seen, like, huge muscle guys on my desktop. Well, she asked, and I was like, just kidding, I want to be the same body, and that's it. But, like, of course, she kind of knows, and I'm not scared that she will know. That's like, I'm not really scared of this law as well. Like, I just ignore it.
And so how do you see yourself in Uzbekistan? Do you think you're going to sometimes find a boyfriend, and can you live with a boyfriend here, or is this, like, out of question?
Well, in Uzbekistan, it's kind of a little hard. Most of the gays over here, they're trying to, like, kind of get married, and, like, it's a kind of marriage, you know what I mean? With a female, and then at the same time they have like second life, probably they have kids, they have family, but at the same time, like, the wife knows about his husband being gay, but just because, like, he's an exceptional earner, like, he earns like good enough money and provide them good living, she just keeps silent.
And if by chance, like, maybe tomorrow the law changes and homosexuality is legal, and is it going to change anything for you?
Not really, I think. You know, even the law changed, but the psychologically people are not ready for it. You know, it's not all about the law, it's all about the people, how they are, like, kind of accepting you. Even the law is changed, but the people will, like, be very homophobic. Probably it can change only, like, when the new generation will come out, and the generation of me, probably.
And indeed, the issue is more political and social. Homosexuality is not socially or morally acceptable. Whether sexual orientation remains a crime or not doesn't actually make any difference for the people. In 2009, when asked about AIDS response towards the gay community for a study, the official government body in charge in Kazakhstan simply said gay men didn't exist in the country. Kyrgyzstan is the first country of the ex-Soviet Union to have decriminalized homosexuality in 1998. Today, it's the most progressive country in the region. The Bishkek-based LGBT organization Labris has an important role to play with its neighbors. I talked to Sinat Sultanayeva, who has been working for 3 years with Labris. She returned to Kyrgyzstan after studying law in York. I asked her about the history of the group.
Basically, it started with a group of lesbian, bisexual women and also transgender men. They were celebrating a birthday of one of the girls, I think, in a cafe called Fat Boys, which is right in the center of the city. It was supposedly considered to be a liberal, progressive kind of a place because its owner is a foreigner. So they were celebrating the birthday and having drinks and having fun. And basically, her partner allowed herself to kiss her in public, basically. And it wasn't like any kind of sexual kind of a movement, just, you know, a peck on the lips, I think. But then in a few minutes, the administrator of the place came up and said that they should leave in very rude terms. And when they asked why they should leave, they were like, we're not going to serve these kind of people in this place. So it's better you get out of here.
When did this happen?
well, March of 2004. And yeah, and they decided that that they didn't want to take this anymore.
What is the action of Labbers today, and what are the main issues and concerns?
Well, Labbers today works, well, not only today, I think for the last 3 years or 4 years, Labbers has been working in three distinct directions of work. So the first one is offering services to the community. So it's medical services, like we pay for their visits to gynecologists or urologists or whatever, psychiatrists or psychologists if they need. And, you know, peer support, group support, meetings, weekly meetings, monthly meetings. Then also we do work, advocacy work. And this work is done sort of also on three subdivisions or sub-levels, I guess. So we work with the public, with the government, and with the international community. So it's all done in order to raise awareness of the public and also raise awareness of the government and the international organizations about the situation of LGBT people here. So we're sort of trying to provide objective and actual information to the media, to the public, to the government about the community.
Is there any specific action regarding HIV prevention and things that you can do in the field directly to gays?
Our approach to HIV/AIDS is through empowerment of the community. And empowerment is actually our third direction of work, like it's a huge direction. So we do trainings for the community on leadership, on activism, on basically the main message of which is basically that, you know, it's all right to be gay or lesbian. And no one has a right to humiliate you or violate your rights just because you're gay or lesbian or transgender or bisexual. Basically, our approach is that you can't really convince a gay or lesbian person to look after their health and safety unless they're proud of who they are, unless they don't have problems with internal homophobia or transphobia. Because it is a really huge problem in the community. Because people don't think that they're, you know, normal because they think they're sick or, you know, they're psychos or freaks, whatever, sinners, as the community, as the society puts it. They think that they deserve to die.
And now in Kyrgyzstan, what's on your plate for the next year? And what's the perspective and what are your hopes?
We already have almost fully secured funding for next year. It's within this project, which is called Bridging the Gaps. And it's a huge project, 5-year project with the COC Netherlands and also some other partners. It's a whole consortia, I think. The work that's included into this project is in four directions. Well, organizational capacity building, human rights advocacy. Third is working with the medical community here on sort of like health rights, health-related issues, and also HIV/AIDS prevention. So these are like four main directions of work that we're going to be definitely working on next year. We're starting work on promoting or first creating and then lobbying for anti-discrimination legislation. This is going to be either a law or some kind of addition to an existing law in which we could clearly write out that discrimination and violation of human rights based on sexual orientation and gender identity, among other criteria, is illegal and is punishable up to certain amount of years or whatever. So that would be a huge achievement for us.
For 8 years, Labbers has been doing an amazing work. Thanks to their action, Kyrgyzstan is clearly opening the way for LGBT and human rights in Central Asia. Decriminalizing homosexuality allows organizations to register, receive funds and take action locally. Fighting discrimination, ending harassment, extortion and violence are an absolute priority. They also help with HIV prevention and health care towards the community. Local activists and organizations need the help of international officials, media and NGOs to maintain constant pressure on politics and communicate widely to the people. Kyrgyzstan is also a great country to travel. I'm getting on with my trip, making my way to China, crossing passes as high as 4,000 meters, surrounded by mountains higher than 7,000 meters in the Pamir Range. More amazing encounters and adventures await. You can read about them and follow me on my website at lebigj.net and on Twitter at lebigj. It's spelled L-E-B-I-G-J-A-Y.
Ho Mo
Lab.
Ho Mo
Lab.
So there you go, really interesting report from Jerome.
Let us know what you think about it. Yeah. Why don't you get in touch on Twitter? We are at HomoLab.
And you can follow Jerome's blog, which has his interviews and also loads of photos from his travels.
LeBigGay.net.
It's LeBigJ.net, actually. It's LeBigGay.
Not GAY. JAY. Oh my gosh. You two are as bad as each other. The Big J.
Thank you, Amy LeMay.
The Big J, JAY.net. Anyway, he's going on to China at the moment. Yeah. And he's the one that actually let us know that we're banned in the world's most populous country.
Yeah,
which is the Democratic People's Republic of China. This podcast is illegal. You cannot download it. We are obviously...
so subversive.
We're a threat to the state, obviously. It's interesting, Jerome, because, you know, before he left, we had this whole conversation about, because, you know, we've talked on this podcast many times about whether you would go to a country that you could be prosecuted in for being who you are, and whether you'd want to spend your money in that country and promote that country. And he took a very different view about that, because he said, well, I'm not going there to be accepted. I'm going there to see what those countries are like.
Yeah.
And so I think his approach to travel is very interesting. And if it wasn't for Jerome, we wouldn't be finding out about a lot of these things that are happening in these countries. I would remain, stupid about it. So. Yeah.
Thank you, Jerome.
Yeah, and if you've ever been to any of these countries or countries where there's similar laws or discrimination, we'd love to hear about that as well. Maybe we can send Jerome there.
Yeah. Well, you know, after last week's discussion about Malaysia and the whole V-neck jumper incident, I have one of my best holidays in Malaysia, but I don't think I'll be going back there anytime soon.
I went to Tennessee once. And we were talking about this. It was, you know, it was absolutely lovely.
I've got to go to Tennessee again soon. Lord help me. Anyway.
Well, that's about it from us. Oh, no, what?
I think we should say congratulations and well done to Nick Grimshaw, who's just started the brand new Radio 1 Breakfast show.
Oh, yeah.
He's on Team Gay?
Yeah, he's on Team Gay, isn't he?
So, I heard it this morning. I thought it was funny. I thought it was good.
Cool. Radio 1 Breakfast show went from having a host that used gay in a derogatory sense to having a host that's actually gay.
And he's lovely, Nick Grimshaw. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. So, yeah, congratulations to him.
Congrats. All right, well, back out into the rain with us.
Yeah, we're the queers in your ears. And we'll be back next week. And Johnny Woo will be joining us next week. So, until then,
bye-bye.
See ya.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
Homo Lab have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choosing. All you have to do is register for a 1-month free trial to claim your free audiobook. There are over 60,000 to choose from. If you're in the UK, you can register at audible.co.uk/homolab. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook, from sizzling biographies to the latest fiction or even classical works, which is yours to keep whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Register now at audible.co.uk/homolab.